The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, for the next couple of hours here on ESPN 97.5. Good to be back. Good to be back, and especially on a day like this, after a great semifinal game. See, last year, we had one great game, and it was the national championship game. Remember? I mean, the two semifinal games sucked. So now we've already had our great game. I would imagine. I don't know. You think it's going to be a great, we got a great national championship game, Georgia and Alabama?
I don't know if it's going to be great, but I just have a feeling Alabama's going to run roughshod over Georgia. I wasn't very impressed with Georgia's defense for much of yesterday. Running game's very impressive, but if they can take that running game away, you know, can Fromm beat Alabama? I don't think so. So we'll see how the matchup is.
Boy, I'm going to tell you this, dude. If you've got Quan in your name, Raekwon, Roquan, Saquon, draft that guy, okay? Because they're good. Like, it was Alabama's defensive front. And I thought between Wilkins and Lawrence and Farrell and that defensive line by Clemson, I was like, how in the world is Alabama going to get anything done? And there was plenty of pressure. Jalen Hurts played a hell of a game. Mm-hmm. Not he can't throw worth a damn. But getting away from some of those rushes was unbelievable. But holy crap, that Alabama defensive front?
They're unbelievable.
That's unbelievable.
Deshaun Hand is really good. Deron Payne is a monster. But the linebackers are so brutal. They were back, too.
That's the difference.
Yeah, and Shondeon Hamilton wasn't there, but I don't think it matters. Like, he's a kind of just a beefed-up safety playing linebacker. They had, like, grown men, their grown men style, you know, Reggie Ragland size linebackers.
And, oh, by the way, they're secondary, too, okay?
Yeah, they'll have so Levi Wallace. Levi Wallace was the story on him was he was playing flag football in intramurals, and he ended up trying to walk on at Alabama. His dad said, "You really need to try to walk on." He was like 150 pounds.
Yeah.
And he gained some weight. He's still, you know, very, very skinny. But he was talented enough that...
Well, his physical, I don't care how skinny he is, he and Kane were going at it.
No. You got to... If you play for Nick Saban, you can't be a punk. Like, there is no punk allowed on the field at any point.
With all the five stars that they get, and this kid's a flag football player...
That's the unbelievable thing is, a team full of five stars, and the flag football player who was a zero star out of high school, not recruited by anybody, he ends up playing for Alabama.
That's unbelievable.
In two straight national championship games... And, you know, and across from him is going to be Anthony Everett, who is going to go, you know, who's going to get drafted. I talked to some teams who think Levi Wallace is going to, you know, going to get drafted late in the draft. He'll be late in the draft pick. Ronnie Harrison is a draft pick. I mean, don't kid yourself. The comment I was on with Peter Burns from SEC Network, he was doing Paul Feinbaum's show, and he was talking about how many, you know, draft picks Clemson is going to have. I said, well, Clemson's probably got more first-rounders on their defensive line, maybe. I said, but let's, because he said it's kind of a down year for Alabama draft. I said, yeah, maybe at high-end guys. I said, but they'll have 11 this year. Like, they'll have 11 guys drafted this year.
It's them.
So, I mean, you know, Calvin Ridley, he'll get drafted. Both the running backs will get drafted. Three guys in the secondary will get drafted. It's Deron Payne, if he comes out, Deshaun Hand. I mean, I'm up to 8. Christian Miller, Rashawn Evans. I'm at 10, and I know I'm missing one or two guys, too. It's J.K. Scott, their punter, may get drafted. I mean, Alabama's still going to have like 11, maybe 12 guys drafted this year.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, they're in the national championship game. They're in the national championship game again.
Yeah.
Again. And right when you thought you were done with Alabama, you had Auburn lose, which opened the door for Alabama to get back in, and now here they are in a national championship. Yeah. And I don't think it's a great matchup for Georgia because
this is a tough one for SEC guy, I would imagine, because didn't his daughter go to Georgia and he's a big Bama guy, but his daughter went to Georgia.
Yeah, some family. Well, it's all intermixed. it's intermingled.
Well, it's SEC.
It's SEC. It's
except we're not
the marriages.
Not those scallywags from LSU.
Nah, yeah, the marriages are all.
We're not doing that.
Intermingled. The SEC East is. He'd probably like nothing better for that to get going. Yeah. The SEC East, except for Florida. There's so much to cover.
Yeah. What about? I want to ask Del. Bring Del into the show. What he thinks about all those white guys running around for Wisconsin?
I'm okay. I mean, I obviously
it was like Hoosiers. It was like the last game in Hoosiers.
No, because the freshman wide receiver, well, he was light skinned, but he made plenty of plays. Okay, so I wasn't that much like Hoosiers. But I am thrilled now. You know, I make fun of Texas fans because it's fun. It's fun to do that. But then you kind of, after what happened in the last 3 weeks, you're like, now I kind of get why they can't stand Manny Diaz. I mean, because we sat through Mark D'Onofrio, who's actually didn't do a terrible job at U of H this year. So anything that incorporated a 4-3 aggressive front, Miami fans are going to be thrilled with. They had a great year last year, a step back this year. Lose your last three games, you're like, oh, this feels like crap. But, I mean, how much can I really get upset about losing to a top five football
team? Yeah, right. No, yeah. It's a good game. And
yeah.
No, had a good season. You know what? Turn it around.
Yeah, the kicker missed a couple field goals, particularly one that
he blows.
Brought him back.
Not quite as bad as LSU's kicker. No,
and that guy, the problem with that guy is he's the all-time leading field goal kicker in Miami history. He just decided to have his worst game of his entire career in the Orange Bowl.
Wow. Yeah, that was terrible. No, some terribleness. We got a lot of stuff
yeah,
to do.
There's a ton. So let's get started with the biggest news is the Houston Texans will have a new general manager. Rick Smith is stepping down as general manager, stepping away. It's like everything with the Texans, it's got to be a little bit vague. It can't just be clear cut. Nothing ever has been. His wife has been getting cancer treatments since the fall. Well, for us, it's kind of late summer, we also call it. And it's not really fall, I guess.
No, it was October.
Yeah, early October.
Yeah, because she learned in September. Late September.
Yeah, I call that that's still late summer. We're still
well
in
the 90s.
Right. I can't really call fall. Yeah. And Rick says he is going to step away from the Houston Texans and be with his wife and the family, and which is admirable. But when you look at the wording of everything with the Texans, it looks as though the Texans are going to hire a new general manager. Now, Rick Smith has had, for I think 3 years now, the title of executive vice president of football and general manager.
Mm-hmm.
Is he coming back to the Texans?
He says he is. It was a comma, not a period.
Okay.
He's going to come back, and he says if they hire a GM, then so be it while I'm gone. But I'm coming back.
Well, who else would run that? I mean, they could get Bill O'Brien to run the draft. And if they did that, but
well, Jimmy Ray's going to run the draft.
Oh yeah, that's right. They have Jimmy Ray there. So you have Jimmy Ray. Yeah. Well, okay. Are they going to? Well, then that even more so. Then if you
maybe
got Jimmy
unless
Ray
they
to
move
run the
unless
draft,
unless they say Jimmy Ray, you're our new GM.
They could, but in any case, you could just say Jimmy Ray is the interim, and Rick Smith will come back. If they hire a new GM, then they have in essence terminated their affiliation as at general manager
right.
with Rick Smith.
Right. And what does that guy do now? And by the way, because you're not picking players anymore, because the GM's going to pick players. Jamie Roots does all the business stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
What is Rick's job going to be? And I think that's the favorite, if you want to know the truth. I think that you know, this was a way to have... Now, here's a question. Suppose Bill O'Brien falls on his face again. Suppose this team sucks again. Now, it's going to be a full year. He's gone for the full year. He is not coming back until after the next football season. So we'll know exactly where Bill O'Brien is. I wouldn't be surprised at all, though, if it doesn't come out that they say, we're going to extend Bill one more year. We don't want a lame duck coach here. I don't know why. It's not like college football where you got to recruit. Hmm. And it's not like the players are going to lose. The thought of you can't have a guy, a pro football coach, as a lame duck is because the players won't respect him and won't listen. Those guys are making too much money to go, oh, screw you, I'm not going to play for you. They're going to play. They're going to play hard, and they're going to try their ass off. The thing is if he ever has a real good year, you want to keep him. You don't want him in the last year of his deal because, well, quite frankly, how many of these jobs would Bill O'Brien right now, if Bill O'Brien was leaving, how many of these jobs right now would Bill O'Brien be a candidate for? All of them.
Yeah, he would. He'd be a candidate for, and that's why you get.
He would get one of these six jobs.
But this is what makes it. There's. You almost have to say, look, if you want to have a conversation about this, you almost have to make sure that, because people can try to use and say, you guys are being really insensitive about Rick Smith as well. We understand. We want nothing more than Tiffany to recover and be fine.
Those are mutually exclusive.
Absolutely. I want to make sure people realize this is a completely separate. What we are discussing now is how the Texans organization is going to be built and what is going to happen moving forward. Because I know that Bill O'Brien was not crazy about having to have Rick Smith as his general manager, as his guy picking the groceries, so to speak. I know that. So he just doesn't consider him a football guy. And so, you know, the question is going to be, now with him out, does this open the door for the Texans to try to give not just a one-year extension? If you're Bill O'Brien, you don't want a one-year extension. All that does is keep you out of another job and guaranteed money, you know, for another year. You want the Texans to buy in with four more years, or you want to let it play out and go get another job next year. That's what you want. So I think if you hear the Texans have extended Bill O'Brien and given him a long-term extension.
If it's long-term.
If it's a long-term extension, that means that he also won a power struggle with Rick Smith.
Yeah.
And it will be interesting to see who they hire as GM. Because what they could do is just say, Jimmy Ray has been a GM candidate for years at many places. He's worked under Ozzie Newsome. We'll just let Jimmy Ray run the draft, and then Rick will come back and resume his duties as general manager. Why would you not have a temporary say, hey, we're going to have Bill O'Brien's under contract. We'll have Bill O'Brien work with Jimmy Ray, and they'll do that. And then Rick's going to come back and do what he's always done because we think he's done a great job, if that's what you truly believe.
That's not what they truly believe.
See, I don't think they truly believe it, obviously. I think this is about to fundamentally change. And there are mutually exclusive. Rick is dealing with something serious in his family.
Yes.
But there's also a work component at play here where, you know, his time may have just run out, period. And I don't know.
Dozen years.
Let me tell you what else, John. This is something else. If Bill O'Brien signs an extension, here's something that is still going to be a problem. If he doesn't think Rick Smith has his back, but Rick is in the building still, that's a really bad situation because Rick obviously has the owner's ear. There's no question about that. So I don't know. I'm just curious to see how this all plays out.
Well, again, I think it's an awfully important year. If Bill O'Brien succeeds, if Deshaun Watson plays great, if they're back into the playoffs, they turn this thing back around, I don't think there's any question that the organization goes, okay, this is what we're doing. They put up another four wins next year, six wins next year. Then they go, well, see, Bill O'Brien can't get this. Then we gave Bill O'Brien the keys to the car. He's been here for 5 years. We're back to a six-win team. I think this is a nice situation if you want to know the truth. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's not a one-year extension on this deal so that you see if Bill O'Brien succeeds. And then you can extend him to a long-term deal after that. But he's got 1 year to prove without Rick Smith. You've been telling us Rick Smith sucks at this. Well, let's see now. Now, of course, he's doing it in a year where he's got his highest pick as a third rounder. So good luck with that. Plus, you know, I mean, what the hell he's got at offensive tackle. But he's got four. He's got four. And you know what you can do? Kendall Lamb could be at left tackle, and you can win with four.
Oh, God, you scared the piss out of me, John.
No, that's the
true
story.
What'd you just say?
I just said that. All right, 713 ESPN 97.5. If you've got thoughts on that. You've got thoughts on James Harden out a couple of weeks now and that run that they went on?
You just dropped that in at the end of the segment. And James Harden being out a couple of weeks. What?
Yeah. After five straight losses, and then they finally won one with him not there. And and all the college bowls. Are you kidding me? 713-780-3776. You're more than welcome to get in. 713-780-3776. Right now, though, start the new year off right with my peeps over at Champion Energy. 1560energy.com. Free weekends. All kinds of stuff going on. The key to this thing is that do you trust your electricity company to do right by you, to be the best for you? When your contract is up, do they call you and tell you, hey, we got a better rate? The answer is no with yours and yes with mine. Mine is the best electricity company in the city. Every time my contract is up, they've been like, hey, there's a better rate. Hurry up. Sign up.
oh, wow, you're going to give me a better rate as opposed to just hope I don't see that my contract is up and keep charging me more? That's what the other guys do. 1560energy.com. Start right now. 1560energy.com. 281-653-5090. Promo code 1560.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
But what do we have left once we abandon the lie? Chaos. A gaping pit waiting to swallow us all.
Chaos isn't a pit. Chaos is a ladder. Many who try to climb it fail. Never get to try again. The fall breaks them.
That was not... We asked for a Rick Smith soundbite.
That was Rick Smith.
That was Littlefinger.
Chaos isn't a pit, guys. It's a ladder. You use chaos, you just climb up that ladder. And you think Rick Smith is done, just like we always thought Varys was done. I mean, excuse me, Littlefinger was done until he wasn't, until he was. So is this the Arya moment, or is this a previous moment?
No. Always ask yourself, what is it that someone else has to gain by what they're doing with you?
What?
We just got done watching that episode. Why would she be here whenever she was all freaked out about her little face or no face sister or whatever coming back? Like,
I always like to ask myself, what is it that someone could gain by the things that they're saying to me?
Like, Littlefinger, you're such a weasel.
Littlefinger is awesome. Pretty good, too, in Peaky Blinders, if you want to know the truth. Not a lot better than Adrian Brody. You haven't seen, you're not on Peaky Blinders,
yeah,
are you?
I just got into season four, and I'm because of you guys, I'm really tuned into Adrian Brody. I'm like, I'm only on episode two, but get out of here, fake Brando.
He's terrible.
Marlon Brando, it's terrible.
It's a fake Marlon Brando.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's disgusting me. Good. Anyway, so, all right, so we got a lot of stuff to do. 713-780-3776 if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. John and Lance, along with Dell. All right, let's start with this James Harden thing. Hammy pulled it in the fourth quarter against the Lakers.
He came out very awkward, didn't he? I mean, the leg was real stiff.
Yes.
He couldn't walk. Like, you could tell, this isn't going to be one day, one game. And that guy's been incredibly durable. Like, James is a horse, man. James goes to work from a durability standpoint, but 2 weeks now is what he's going to miss. And this is on the heels of Clint Capela missing a couple. Chris Paul bailed them out and helped them get a W the other day. That was a big one because it was looking like six straight losses. Twice you'd lose to Corey Brewer in a six-game stretch, which is unacceptable to lose to Corey Brewer twice in a six-game stretch. But the Rockets pulled it out, but they've got some... You know, they got some concerns. Did you guys see this too? In that Chris Paul in the New Year's Eve game, Chris Paul's doing the same things James does in terms of ISO ball at the top and then driving and penetrating. And the offense now is just getting so, it's just reverting to one-on-one basketball. Now, Chris and James both have kick-out opportunities, and they do that. And Trevor Ariza had a big three at one point, but. And Gerald Green had a big one, too.
Mm-hmm.
But they just, man, it's like the trust factor has gone way down with James and with Chris Paul. They don't play the same as the first in the last 2 minutes as they play in the first 46. That's what I've – and it's been that way for James forever.
Well, yeah. It's Stephen Coutinho ball with the last 2 minutes. And it's just hard.
Better finishers, hard to work. Better, more efficient
well,
players.
Well, yeah. But it's get out of the way. And James, when he starts pushing people out of the way, and let me just stand out here and dribble between my legs and step back or whatever. It's, you know what, he's James, and he's going to score. And then you go, oh, that's cold-blooded. But It is.
Bill, Bill's made that a thing where he goes,
okay,
so far, Eric Gordon does, they could use one of his cold-blooded threes. I'm like, oh, Bill's making cold-blooded happen now.
Dude, do you know how many times he said cold-blooded in that Laker game?
Yeah, it's a lot.
Hey, Bill, we're still down by six with 2 minutes to go.
Doesn't
that
matter.
It's not cold-blooded.
It's cold-blooded.
Not cold-blooded.
Cold-blooded.
When you cut it from 9 to 6, it's not cold-blooded.
That's cold-blooded. Okay?
Well, doesn't feel like it.
Well, how about when it's a threesa? From Ariza.
Ariza from, mm-hmm. Yeah. What about when Ariza went and did you see the him go and whisper something in Luke Walton's ear and then Luke dropped a bleep you on him?
Yeah. They're friends from their old days with the Lakers, but he just
somebody
turned and
tweeted
goes,
out, oh, yeah, that's why you can keep him. He's classless.
Oh.
Like, that's two buddies that are, if you've never said bleep you to one of your friends, then you know what?
Keep who? Luke Walton's classless?
Yeah.
It's two guys joking around. Yeah. They were teammates on the Lakers. Like,
I know. Stop.
That's dumb.
Stop.
People who say that should be hit with a hammer.
No. We don't hit people with a hammer like that.
You know, if you say something dumb like that, he's classless. You should at least get stunned with a stun gun. Just like in the leg. Nothing in, like near the head or the neck. But just like, oh, man. So, well, don't say something stupid like that anymore.
Well,
how about, that's a Black Mirror episode.
Speaking of excuses,
people randomly get tased for saying dumb stuff.
Devin Bellamy, he should be tased.
From Georgia?
Yeah. After the game, he's about to do an interview, and Baker Mayfield's walking by, and he goes, he's screaming, humble yourself! Humble yourself! Dude, that dude is a baller. That dude won the Heisman. You're a big toe guy.
I'm sorry. Devin Bellamy just spoke for all of America. Manziel.
I love Baker Manziel.
Baker Manziel.
I love Baker Manziel. You know why? Because he runs around like this and he does his hands flying.
Him and Saquon Barkley.
I love those
guys.
They
both celebrate like that. And then throughout that game, the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, Washington was doing that to mock him. That's my favorite part about college football, when guys, except when it happens with the turnover chain, Wisconsin was having their fun with that.
Except when it happens with classless Tom Herman.
Well, yeah.
When he's mocking.
Well, he's an adult.
Mr. Turnover Chain's upset about that.
I didn't even care about the Tom Herman. I just like calling Texas people classless because it's fun.
Yeah.
By the way, he's a grown man making millions of dollars. They're just kids. Drew Locke's just a kid. Classless.
Did you see Paul Chryst, though?
He was like,
bleep the turnover chain.
Everybody does that. Everybody does. At this, it's either now it's gone from the you down that people throw down. Now it's bleep the turnover chain.
Yep. Well, I mean, my wife, I don't know if she saw it. I guess Longhorn fans are probably used to this. Oklahoma's playing Georgia in the college football playoffs with a chance to go to the national championship.
And a fan
and
threw
fans are doing horns down in the middle, like, Texas isn't even remotely even involved in you at all.
What are they going to do to taunt Georgia? I know their mascot's a dog. You can't, like, just hold up a Michael Vick
sign.
What are you going to do?
How about instead of it being taunting, Dell, it's just raising up your own?
No, you have. Or excuse me. Do you know what college football is about?
That's right.
You raise yourself up by putting other people down.
That's right. That's exactly what you do. That's why I love college football.
You climb up other people's backs and step on their
heads. Climb up ladders of chaos is what you do,
brother.
So climb on, brother. So what time did you set up Dr. Cogslaughter today, Dell?
Well, that's a guy who doesn't really like my hully gully attitude. Well, so
you're not from LSU.
Well, I'm kind of hully-gully. I'm not a huge fan of the SEC.
He's Eastern.
I'm a Miami fan, so he can't like me.
Just call him anytime after 8. He'll probably answer. You just have to call his office.
Well, all right.
He didn't go to the office.
He's not going to the office on the 2nd?
Nah.
Because it's a good day for the SEC, I guess. No.
He's torn on this one. This is a big... He's an Alabama fan, obviously, but his daughter went to Georgia, and Georgia's classy.
Isn't his daughter the one who... had, at least in his eyes, questionable decision-making during college.
Bucky did not end up going to an SEC school.
No, Bucky was his catcher for the softball team, wasn't it?
Yeah, she tore another girl's knee up by sliding in head first.
Wasn't that his daughter?
No, Marietta was the one who... Marietta went to... She went to Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah.
Did Bucky go to Brown or something? Now. Did Bucky wind up at Brown or something?
I can't remember. I think she ended up going to some kind of beauty college or something.
Beauty college?
I don't know. She does
probably
hair.
Not a beauty college.
She does hair now.
Maybe a tattoo shop. I don't know.
Bucky. All right, so
Bucky.
Was that her given name or is that her nickname?
No, that's
I think
her
it's
nickname.
A nickname.
That's her nickname, but that's what everybody knows her by.
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's 7:26. Let's catch up on break. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
A lot of stuff. There seriously is a lot going on. We will get to the Texans. They ended their season in horrific fashion, as you might imagine. Yet another loss. But Bill O'Brien will be back. Rick Smith is not going to be back, at least for the near future. We've got that to discuss. James Harden out 2 weeks. How is that going to change the Houston Rockets? National championship is set. We will get into that. And we got a lot more coming up here in just a second. You guys can jump in, and we'll get you right on in the next segment. 713-780-3776. That's 713-780-3776. I want to tell you right now about, I can sit and tell you about the Chevy Silverado Texas Edition. I can tell you about the GMC Sierra pickup truck, or maybe tell you about the Denali Editions of the Yukon Extended Body. But at the end of the day, it's really about the guy. I speak for Craig DeSerf. And yet, GMC has some phenomenal products out there, including Yukon, which I drove for 5 years. My wife drives GMC Acadia, which is a crossover vehicle. I've driven the, right now I'm driving the Silverado. I have driven the Buick Enclave, which is a crossover, which I think is maybe the best crossover vehicle on the market, and it's on the Buick side. There's so much to see at GulfCoast.net. You can go there and check them out for yourself. You head down to Angleton, and you're going to get unbelievable deals because Craig DeSerf basically says, look, if you're coming out to Angleton to come see me, I want to make sure that we get you the selection that you want at prices you love and give you the service that no one else can match. And that truly is what he does. It is a neighborhood dealership, basically. He took that attitude, and he's taking it out to Angleton, and he will make sure that you are happy with your car buying experience. Go online, GulfCoast.net, check out their entire selection. And then, when you're ready to buy, if you want to do it online, which a lot of people are doing now, they will ship that car out to you. They'll drive it to you in Houston if that's what it takes. He will do whatever it takes. And that's why I speak for Craig DeSerf, and that's why I speak for Gulf Coast Buick GMC Chevy. For more information, go to the website, gulfcoast.net.
ESPN 97.5. Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, you know, the plan, first of all, is that there's a lot of dynamics to this job, right? There are a lot of responsibilities. And so how we decide to fill all those roles, that's not up to me. That's up to Mr. McNair and how he decides to do that. What I will tell you is I don't think it's, you know, I said an extended leave of absence yesterday because however we decide to man these various roles, okay, whether it's the draft or free agency or picking the hotels and buses that we use, all these things that encompass my job, whoever is responsible and whoever takes over those roles, I don't think it would be fair for me to insert myself, reinsert myself at any point during that process halfway through. And so it makes sense to just have a complete year that we just take off so that whoever is fulfilling all of those roles and responsibilities has the freedom to do that. So those things are still being discussed and talked about and worked through. And I'll let Mr. McNair and I'll let Bill and, you know, everyone else who's responsible for those things speak to those matters.
Well, that clearly lets you know that if it's Jimmy Ray, that feels temporary. Jimmy Ray's on the staff. Jimmy Ray has been...
Unless they promote him to permanent general manager.
Well, they
That's
could.
A different deal.
I mean, they could. Yeah. And he is a guy. But he is somebody who works in the team that they could say, we're going to give you a temporary, you know, an interim tag, and then Rick Smith will come back after a year and step back into that role. If you see somebody like Brian Gain, who was here previously and who's worked with Bill O'Brien, if you see him leave Buffalo after a year and come back, then that's going to be a permanent deal.
Yeah.
That's a permanent deal. And I mean, Rick isn't going to get his job back. His general, I really don't think
because Gain and O'Brien are.
I think they've got the background. Yeah. I think so, somewhere along the way. I think
the rumor is that those two, I think, are.
Yeah, I can't remember.
See, and Bill lost that.
But Brian Game was. Well, I can't remember if he was hired before Bill or not. I don't think so. I think he was after Bill. But I don't know. Brian Game comes from the Bill Parcells family tree. You know, you've got Bill Belichick is where at least there's a background with Bill Belichick for Bill O'Brien.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
And Belichick worked under Bill Parcells. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. How will it affect this year's draft and stuff like that? I don't know. I don't know how involved Bill O'Brien will be in the draft. Free agency. The Texans will have three third round picks. They have no first and second. I'm to the point now where I think you got to package two of the thirds to get into the second and go try to get a tackle if possible. You got to do something on that offensive line. Or even get a guard. I don't care. Really, you know, a good guard. You got to do something. Three thirds, you just can't wait until the third round. You're going to have to get into the second.
Okay, so let's do this. And I hate to be 6'10", but we have to talk. The season is over now, and we have to talk about next year. What do you expect from JJ? What if you're the organization? What do you say? I mean, you put $100 million into the dude, so you got to get something out of him.
I mean, honestly, I think you expect him to expect. I don't think you can even use the word expect anymore. I mean,
I think you hope.
You hope he can get to 8 or 9 sacks a year.
Okay, so what do you do, though? What's the plan? Is it, JJ, you're playing half the snaps? JJ, you're playing, and you know him. I got to pray. I got to jump out of box. Dude, you got to slow down. Your body can't take it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You're like Tiger Woods now. I don't mean it like that. But here's the deal is, I think,
Percocet, Molly Percocet.
He said like Tiger Woods. That's what Tiger Woods is about.
I'm talking about the Canadian doctor. Anyway, so listen, here's the deal is, what can you expect out of him? Whitney Mercilus, you're hoping he's back. He's good. Honestly, when you're talking about third round and later, and you maybe package up and get into the second round, that would be totally sweet to get some kind of a tackle. That would be awesome. But the defense will be better. You got to find a defensive. You got to find another cornerback because you're clearly lacking there. I don't think there's any question.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a better pass rush, everybody looks better, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing about AJ Bouye this year. It's one of the greatest statistical years of all time by a cornerback. But guess what? He had the best pass rush in all of football.
Yeah.
He had a great pass rush here last year.
Well, so did Jalen.
Jalen was really good too.
But I mean, I think it can be
those
also,
two were two of the best.
I think those are mutually exclusive too. I think AJ is just a really good cover guy.
Yeah, well, but what we've seen out of AJ the last couple of years is he can come up and play, but because he's got a great pass rush. He had a great pass rush last year.
Yeah, I just think he can cover. I mean, I've seen him cover for years. It's just he was always he would always get in a lot of trouble with double moves, like because he sits on routes. He's a route sitter.
Well, but you can sit on routes when you know that the quarterback's only gonna have so much time to throw. If like when you're playing Deshaun Watson after, okay, so they played him in the first game, in the second half of the first game, so you didn't not really a great indicator. But Deshaun had more time than any quarterback in the NFL, over 4 seconds to throw, because he created that time. Would A.J. Bouye, who's sitting on routes and gets double moved, how good would A.J. Bouye be then?
I don't know. He didn't really get double moved much anymore. That was kind of my point.
Because there was no time.
Well, no, but his instincts were he didn't really – I think he figured out what teams were trying to do, and he got smarter. Look, that's a guy who made a ton of plays in preseason, in camp, like every practice he is – I just think he's got great ball skills. I think he's a legit great – that's irrelevant to the point you're making about pass rush.
My point is how much better will the Texans be when they get a pass rush again?
Yeah, but they got to get real corners too. Kevin Johnson is a third cornerback at best.
Yeah.
And that's why letting Bouye go to me was a mistake, because you didn't know what you had with him. You know J.J. can't run really anymore. Kareem could never run.
No.
You got some issues at cornerback.
Oh, you got a lot of issues.
Yeah, you got a lot of issues at cornerback. I don't think there's any question,
but I think you will be better just because
you should be.
You
yeah.
should be. You yeah. should be a little bit better. It, but, so, but if
okay,
you're
wait,
if you're going to pick
Merciless
between,
or JJ, are they going to be better because of one or the other?
Merciless. They're going to be better because Merciless is there again. Because JJ, the days of JJ, his three defensive MVP years, those are over.
Okay, that's fine. Let's say they're
now,
over.
Now, him being a really good defensive end in a 3-4, he still probably could do. There's still that ahead if he could stay on the field.
Yeah, how confident do you
feel? But he wasn't the same guy. He wasn't a defensive MVP when he was playing.
But how confident do you feel?
That he'll stay on the field?
Yeah.
Not very.
I mean, then what the hell? Look, this is the question that no one's going to want to talk about. The fact is, what you're paying him right now is outrageous.
No, well, you're done. But three MVP seasons gets that. Three defensive MVP seasons gets that.
I understand, but at some point in this isn't basketball in baseball. This isn't guaranteed.
Oh,
the whole
really?
Way
this
through.
Is a team that paid Brian Cushing 3 years after he was past his prime, big money, and put him back on the field.
Let me tell you.
Listen, JJ is an icon here.
I understand that. But first of all, Brian Cushing should have been cut 2 years ago. Well, this really wasn't a hard. This team is really poor. It really is poorly run, if you really want to know the truth. They let Glover Quinn go and they bring in Ed Reed. They let Bouye walk when they didn't have solutions at cornerback. And you could have franchised them for a year and just said, we're just not going to let you go for a year. We're just going to see how it goes. And then maybe we'll let you go. In essence, that could be what they're doing with Bill O'Brien.
That's right. I think that's exactly what they're going
to
do.
And so, you know, they've got to start operating like a smart team. They don't operate like a dumb team, but they don't operate like a smart team. They operate like a 9-7 to 7-9 to 8-8 team. You want to know why they're in the middle of the pack? Because they're a middle of the pack organization who functions like a middle of. Hanging on to Brian Cushing that long, that's a middle of the pack decision. That's an owner like, well, he had blood on his nose, so he had the oxygen addiction, the blood in the nose, and all that, man. The guy's a multiple time
pet offender.
Doesn't
matter. That's what they do.
He's slow. Get him out. This is just a football decision.
That's what
decision.
They do, Lance.
And look, JJ,
you couldn't get rid of the dude that raised $37 million for Harvey?
Well,
have you lost your mind?
I'm not saying that. You can't. And I'm not saying to get rid of JJ. But what I am saying is that you're going to have to take a look at him moving forward. If he can't stay on the field, you may have to ask him to take a little bit of a pay cut.
Oh, he ain't doing that either.
You could just keep paying him to be out for the whole year, I guess.
That's all. That's what you're doing. That's all you're doing.
I mean,
so but the fact of the matter is that if you had your druthers, what they do with those three third round picks, package it up, go to the second round and get a tackle, and then get another tackle in the third round, whatever the case may be, you need that offensive line help more than you need DB help, I think. I think that offensive line is.
Yeah, but you just don't get those guys that late.
You've got to keep Deshaun as clean as possible.
Now, if they think Davenport is coming along, maybe he ends up being. I don't. Look, I'm not a big fan personally, but.
Oh, come on.
We'll see. But to me, good tackles go in the first round primarily. Every once in a while, you get a Cam Robinson who slips into the second. You got to, if you're not picking a tackle on the top 45 picks, you're probably not getting a good tackle. That's just the reality of it. You're not going to get someone who's going to be a factor, or you're going to get somebody with some physical liabilities and limitations, or physical limitations that can be liabilities. So for my money, what I would do is, I'm talking about, I don't know that I'm saying you have to get a tackle in the second round, but you need to go get a more high impact player. It could even be a guard, but you've got two guards who need to be replaced. You got a center who's missed three of his last 4 years. He's ended the season with season ending injuries. This Nick Martin thing has got. I mean, this is a really severe concern here.
Yeah.
Nick Martin can't stay healthy.
No.
I mean, he can't go back to his college years. Go to his pro years. Nick Martin. I don't even think you can depend on him, and that's a second round pick.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, in this free agent tackle market, you know what? You're just going to have to overpay and get a body, though. You're going to have to.
I got to see who the free agents
are. It's bad. It's not good at all. It is really not good.
Never is good, because good tackles don't get away.
Well, there were a couple out there last year, but guess what? You decided, no, we don't need that. Yeah, Dwayne Brown's going to hold out, and we got Kendall Lamb.
Tony Romo, John.
Tony Romo is not a left tackle. I don't know if you heard.
No, but they weren't going to spend money because they were saving
it for Tony. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Did John Granato just make J.J. Watt sound like Ed Orgeron?
Box jump.
That did. He did have some Ozra on there.
744 ESPN 97.5. 703-780-3776. Come on in.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame it, Don.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Yeah, the free agent list is awesome, Lance.
There are no free agents.
Nate Solder, Greg Robinson, Donald Stevenson.
I don't want to hear anyone mention Chantrell Henderson. Greg Robinson has been...
Oh, he's been terrible.
Three teams can't fix
him. Yeah, but I think the Texans might take him because they've heard of him.
There's that nobody can fix Greg Robinson.
Nate Solder. Oh, yeah, we know that guy. And didn't Bill O'Brien work with him? In New England?
Yeah.
So?
No, I honestly think Nate Solder could be a guy that they would target. Be better than what they have.
Well, yeah. No, it'll be much better, but you're going to have to overpay him.
Yep.
Because his name is Nate Solder. Yeah, so that's what you got. That's what you got going on. And you don't have any first or second round pick. And this whole thing about Rick, what an unbelievable. Yeah, Bob McNair was so pleased with him. It was unbelievable how ingenious to be able to get rid of your second rounder to get rid of Brock. I mean, he just changed the NFL.
You could have.
No, you gave up a second rounder to get out of the worst signing in history.
I swear to God, so many people danced and partied in the street. When giving up, Rick swindled him. He said he gave him a second rounder to take on money that they already had.
And guess what? You had money.
You had money, but you're saving it for Tony Romo.
Oh,
there was no swindling. And all the same people who are jumping up and down about swindling, it turned into now that you have to pay the piper with no draft pick in a second. It's like, I wish we had a draft pick. Yeah, you could have cut him and kept him.
Well, and somebody was making the argument on Twitter about Deshaun and what a terrible pick it was because you gave up another first rounder.
Terrible pick. If you get your quarterback,
I would give up a first rounder for the next 3 years to get your franchise guy.
If he stays healthy and he's a franchise quarterback, there's no such thing as
no such thing.
That's hard.
That's just stupid. I mean, look. He made, again, going back, but he made that offensive line serviceable. He made Will Fuller look good. I mean, Will Fuller has been terrible, and Deshaun made him look good. That's worth a first rounder if you're making guys look better. Those are good. They turned into good players because of that guy that you gave up two first rounders for. All right. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. So we solved all the Texans' ills. This is going to be an interesting time to see, especially with the draft coming up, whether or not they move Jimmy Ray up or they get somebody. If they get somebody new in here, game over for Rick. Game over.
Yeah, I would agree. Here's Nick Martin's injuries. 2013 knee, out for the year. 2014 hand, he played. He just moved from center to guard because he couldn't snap. So he was not out for a year there. 2016 ankle, missed the whole year, out for the year. 2017 ends the season on IR, out for the year. So dating back to 2013, he's finished seasons. He's been on the IR to finish the season three different times. It's the second time he's had an ankle injury. I don't know if it's the same ankle for the Texans. I'd have to check and see. But I don't want to just, and I don't know that he was all that great this year anyway. I think he was better than
he was good.
The rest of the other guys for sure.
Well, yeah, he showed some flashes, but he was also.
He must have been okay because they did run the ball okay.
When you got to block your guy and Xavier Suofilo's guy, it's not easy.
Xavier can run block a little bit. He is just an atrocity in pass protection. Mm-hmm. An atrocity. Let's try to avoid atrocities on the offensive line.
Same surgery, other leg. Been through it before, so I know how to handle it.
All right.
This time I don't have to miss any of the 2018 season.
Maybe it's just really bad luck and there's no injury prone or anything like that. We'll see. Looking at the cap situation, they have some money, but you can't just, you know, that money's probably, you're probably better served going out and looking, targeting some cornerbacks some defensive backs, a safety with some of your free agent money.
That might be.
Not offensive line. Not at least not tackle. Good tackles are rarely available in free agency.
Yeah.
They're older and more expensive is the best you get because somebody else says, they ain't worth what we're paying them.
Thing is, though, wouldn't you rather have a Nate Solder and pay him a little bit more for a couple of years and then draft tackles as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you might
And you still got enough money to go get a cornerback, to go get a decent corner.
Yeah, you might have
got plenty of cap space available. So you use it this year.
Let me see. Cornerback as free agents, and these are UFAs, unrestricted free agents. Brent Grimes is getting too old. I would say if you're looking at young guys, look at Terrence Newman is still in the league.
Yeah, but
you don't want somebody that old.
Yeah, but you get Miko if you get Brent.
Yeah, no, you don't. You can't handle Miko.
Oh, I would love to have Miko here. You want to talk about a story, a storyline. What about Malcolm Butler?
I like Malcolm.
I like Malcolm Butler, too.
Mm-hmm.
What about Bryce McCain?
He's gonna get paid,
what about Petey McCain? You don't want him?
Yeah.
Yeah, no?
Not interested.
No,
Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler would be
Malcolm good. Butler is one
But what's
guy.
He going to cost?
I don't know. Pay it. Pay it.
Yeah, I don't know. Philip Gaines, EJ Gaines. There's a lot of Gaines out there. Morris Claiborne.
Ben Wickery. Is that how? I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Ben Wickery.
He's 26. He's with the Cowboys. I might consider looking at him. That would be a less expensive option. The Cowboys have a bunch of defensive backs.
How about Alteron?
Werner? Maybe.
He barely played. He only played because he was when guys got hurt. He was a depth signing and who barely played. The Dolphins wanted to go young. They went with Cordarrelle Tankersley and Xavien Howard.
How about Desir?
Pierre Desir? I don't know. I haven't really studied how he's played.
Well, you know what? That's what they do. Go evaluate Claiborne. Every single guy out there and go grab one.
You
need
Morris
help.
Claiborne. Yeah, I don't know.
You know?
You could go pay a bunch of money for Tremaine Johnson if you wanted to.
How about Tremaine Williams? He's out there.
Nope. Too old.
Yeah. You let that go. You let him go during his prime. It would be a very Texan thing. Well, you know what?
Let's get him back here.
Let's get him back.
Let's not.
Let's do that.
Let's not. No offense, but you got to go younger.
713-780-3776. Let's get Gilbert in here. This is his second tour. Duty Gilbert wants to talk on the radio. He's our first caller of 2018. Hey, Gilbert.
How you doing? Happy New Year, gentlemen. How are you, Lance?
Too.
Happy New Year.
Thank you.
John.
Hey, Gilbert. What's going on? Did you watch those games yesterday?
I'm not a college football fan anyway.
You're not a college football fan?
I don't care about a Texan anyway.
You're a Texan fan?
Not a college football anyway.
What do you think about the Texans? They finished up strong, didn't you think?
They're going to go Super Bowl next year, probably.
I agree. Everything indicates, after this season, everything indicates a Super Bowl season next year.
It's looking like it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we'll have a good quarterback to go. I still would get Phil Rivers to come play for us anyway. Go Super Bowl next year. How that sounds?
Yeah. No, I think Phillip Rivers over Deshaun Watson is a good call. I think it's a great call. Maybe we'll get Phillip.
Did the Chargers make it to the playoff or not? Did anybody play on Chargers?
No. They didn't make it, Gilbert.
Tell you what.
They did not make it.
No.
What was pretty sweet is watching the Ravens eliminated from playoff contention.
How about that?
Just get the Ravens out of there. The least exciting football team. The Panthers are up there with them. I get bored watching Panther ball. The Giants are the worst. Ravens are probably next to last. It was so good not having the Ravens in the playoffs.
Where are the Texans looking
for the Bills?
Yeah, well, at least Tyrod can run around.
No, but I can't do Joe Flacco anymore. I can't do that thing. That's too.
Wait a minute. Where are the Texans on that list?
Well, when Deshaun is there, and when JJ's healthy.
When Deshaun is on the field, when
JJ's playing at full speed, when Whitney Merciless is there, when the Texans are younger in the cornerbacks.
How about the Texans versus the Colts on Sunday? Where do they rank in terms of the most boring?
That wasn't high up the charts. That was relatively low.
Boy.
That was pretty low.
That announcing team's got to feel really, really scared this offseason.
Oh, they know.
No.
They know.
Lame duck announcers.
Well, I mean, if you're going to be... if you are going to be on that game in the last game of the season, you are low.
It's you got one or two. You got you, it's good if you're coming up. Like, hey, I'm on this game. Right. But, hey, I just started. It's my second year. If you've been around for half a decade or so and you're still calling.
If that was a Dick Stockton game.
Well,
Dick, that's about it. This is the end of the road.
They're sending you a message.
So this is where I am. This is where I am in my life. 757 ESPN 97.5. Tim wants to talk about trading JJ. What do you say, Tim?
I just want to see what y'all thought about that. I'm not necessarily for it, but I mean he's been out for two seasons. You haven't really gotten much out of him, and I know there's a bunch of other positions that we need more depth at. And could we get a lot for him, or like should that even be considered at all?
Well, here's the problem. No, I don't know what you get for him. He's coming off of 2 years of being injured. Whoever takes him on would have to take on a massive salary. But the other problem is it's the same as cutting him. If you trade him, it's the same as cutting him. You get a cap hit that immediately hits you. So it's not even anything that you can discuss. You would take a massive cap hit, and I doubt you'd even get a first rounder back at this point. So it's not even on the table. It would hit you. It'd crush your cap, and the value for JJ when he's playing well, you wouldn't get that. Because how could you? You don't have any leverage in a deal. The guy's been hurt two straight years. What leverage do you have?
All it would be is a salary dump.
Yeah.
I mean, you literally, what team would give up?
Should the Texans trade away a future first and second to get rid of JJ? Is this the new market? Is this the new mode? Trade away picks and JJ?
No.
Rick Smith has announced before he takes a leave, he has traded JJ in their first rounder for 2018-19. What now?
All right, 759 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3. By the way, there's no chance that they're trading away Captain America. Zero chance. No. They would rather pay him and have him stand on the sideline to promote the team than trade him.
JJ will still he'll be getting paid $20 million to be an ambassador and wear that stupid coat.
Yeah. He gets to wear the coat. 759.
Listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, here they come! This is Fred Fowler, and we're off to the races at Gulf Greyhound Park. Live racing returns to Gulf Greyhound Park on Wednesday, December 27th. Bring the entire